This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You know how everything seems like a good idea after you've had a few? Yeah, that's this show.
Riding in my car. And I'm listening to the radio.
It's time for Dukes and Bell.
Oh, someone told me it's the Black Beverly Hills. Is that true?
Driving in Atlanta just got a whole lot more bearable.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Hi, everybody. Carl Dukes and Mike Bell. The names that mean goodness.
Say my name, you know who I am.
Carl Dukes.
I drink and I know things.
Oh, don't question my authority, things.
King Kong ain't got on me.
Sometimes you just got to call somebody, and I'm not ashamed to say it. You know,
And Mike Bell.
I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown, I amuse you.
Hope you guess my name.
Bring a pitcher of beer every 7 minutes till somebody passes out, and then bring one every 10 minutes, right?
Get ready for the best 5 hours of your life.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
Don't believe me, just watch.
This is Dukes and Bell.
You know what? Why don't we start doing the stuff that other guys have done on other radio shows around the country?
No!
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Atlanta, what's going on, man? It is a Friday here in Paradise. We're still watching tennis. I haven't watched as much tennis in my life. I got to be honest with you. I've been watching a lot of Serena. Because she's been a compelling story. But as we said, with the Georgia storyline, John Isner and John Anderson?
Whatever his name is. All I know
is
that he's a bulldog.
He's from South Africa.
He's a bulldog.
And the dude he's playing, man, this has been some really interesting stuff. Because it's like bazookas at point-blank range on this first serve, and these guys are going at it. So we were just, like I said, in the office, we had everybody kind of huddled around the flat screen going, ooh, watching this stuff.
You're not a tennis guy, Mike?
I play it. I mean, I'll watch it every now and again. Uh-huh. I had a bad experience years ago.
Uh-oh, in the Hamptons?
No, okay. But close. No, I was years ago, my buddy Paulie and I, we got a job. My dad hooked us up with a friend of his, and we got a job valeting cars at the U.S. Open. So it's not that I hate tennis. I just hate the people that like tennis. So, you know, but
it's not the tennis snobs.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Exacto mundo. But it has been some compelling television today on a Friday. As we've kind of got spoiled by watching the World Cup, for those that love the World Cup action, during the middle of the day, if you're lucky enough to, you know, be able to sneak a few peeks when you're at work, or maybe you're lucky enough to get out early and hang out at your favorite sports bar. But somebody keep us occupied today on a Friday. Braves back in action at SunTrust. We'll talk more about that. And more he said, she said, more information coming out on this very strange Shady McCoy situation over the last 24 hours.
Yeah, once again, you're just getting, you know, I like the way you phrase it. He said, she said. Now, we know something happened to the young lady, but that's all we know. We don't know what happened or who did what to whom. But, yeah, it's getting crazier. And every day it's another story or another line, somebody denying or saying somebody did something. So, eventually everything's going to come out, hopefully, so we can get to the bottom of it.
Hey, don't draft DeMarco Murray in your fantasy league. He just retired. It just announced today.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, more and more guys stepping away a little earlier than sooner. Adam Schefter reporting from ESPN.com just before we got on the air today. So a lot of guys, Randy, whether it's just wear and tear on the body or the concussion concerns, I don't think we're going to see guys even come close to playing as long as, with some of the guys in the past.
Oh, no. Everybody, I mean, it's a different game. It's a different mindset now where, you know, you get your money, you're secure, your family's secure, then you walk away. And I thought DeMarco was going to play at least a couple more years. And I know he said he announced it, but I'm sure somebody gives him a holler around training camp and some backs go down. I think he'll take that opportunity.
The Falcons guys, before you know it, will be starting camp. There's no news about Julio. I'm wondering, I had a guy at the gym today. He was laughing. He said, man, I heard you losing your voice with Randy a few weeks ago arguing about Julio. It's been a Julio-free zone for the last couple of days. But a guy asked me at the gym today over at LA Fitness. He says, when do you think we're going to hear about the deal? And we're not going to argue about it because we all know he's going to get paid. I mean, you agree the Falcons are going to come with some money, right?
Yeah.
But when? When's the timeline on
that? It probably won't happen until right before camp or something. Or it might be. They might tell him, you know, they're going to do it during camp. I mean, my whole thing is I'm not worried because Julio – what day is that on? That Thursday opening night up in Philly, he'll be on the field.
Okay, but you think the money will be in his account by beginning of camp?
Yeah.
That's what I told the guy. So we're on the same page on that one, man. This hour of the show brought to you by Kia. We're live inside the Kia studios. Carl, I believe, has used his next to last day of vacation.
There's no more vacation for Carl.
I can't speak to that, but no. Randy, I'm not privy to what he has.
I should say this. My name is not on this schedule for either one of y'all for the next 2 months. So
I believe we're ready to roll. Next week, SEC Media Days, yippee-ki-yay. And then before you know it, we'll be out at Falcons, and we're going to have a real cool broadcast location. We're going to actually be able to watch practice, and then we'll have a spot for you to come hang out in the shade. We'll explain coming up in the next couple of weeks with 92.9 The Game. You're home of the Falcons.
Oh, so we're not behind the fence anymore. Hospitality tent that we can't see anything.
We'll be able to watch practice. Again, I've sworn to secrecy, and you know me, I can't keep secrets, but we do have a really cool location, and I believe the location is going to have Dukes and Bell Heyman Ale.
Wow. You guys are moving on up. You're in Noonan and down in St. Simon's and Athens. And
Cartersville.
Now you're in Swanee.
We in Swanee, Joe. From Cartersville to St. Simon's, we are in Noonan. Noonanites rejoice. Dukes and Bell, Hey Man Ale. Flowing like water from the taps at multiple bars. Thanks to our buddies at Georgia Crown. And I just texted my buddy Scotty McCray, and I said, Scotty, we got to get the beer in your bars, man. So we'll get working on that as well. So coming soon in cans. I'm assured of this by Dutch in the promotions department.
You sure? But they're not going to do it until they get the proper, you know, artwork.
I got to be honest with you. Full disclosure, yeah. I'm a little disappointed in the feet dragging of the art department on this. Okay, we've created a buzz. People enjoy the product. They're consuming the product. They're asking me every day on Twitter, where can I get the product?
Right.
But, you know, all I'm getting from Dutch is a lot of yup, 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 as far as what's going on with the design of the cans.
Do you have any at your house right now?
I'm out.
You're out too, huh?
I'm out. And some bars frown on you coming up with like a two-gallon jug and say, fill this. You know, some guys, if you're lucky, they'll pull that for you, but not many guys will do. I think that's a violation of Georgia state liquor laws. Either way, stay tuned because Dukes and Bell Hey Man Ale is coming to a bar near you sooner than later. Again, thanks to our buddies at Georgia Crown and, of course, Oconee Brewing. Taylor, the brewmaster, for coming up with this tasty beer. And it's more than a summer beer. It's a 12-month a year brew, but it's got a hoppy finish for all you hipster beer guys.
I mean, he still rubbed me the wrong way. The dude at the we had the live broadcast
at
down
Twin
the
Peaks.
Gulch. No, at the Gulch.
Oh yeah.
Ugh, summer beer. Like, really?
Yeah. Well,
just drink it.
You know, the dude had a handlebar mustache and suspenders. What do you think he's going to say? It's two things. There's a lot of people out there that all they know is the mass produced Miller Lite or Bud Light. Well, you know me, I drink a ton of Bud Light during the summer. But I mean, if you're used to that, you know, it's a different palate. Because then you also got guys that are like they love Sweetwater. And you got guys that love all the different microbrews that have popped up in the last 20 years. So you got to try to find the happy medium between the mass and the macro and the micro.
I just don't get it, man. They have beer seasons. Beer's good all the time.
Like, it is in my book.
Who comes up with, oh, this is a spring beer. How you figure that?
They have seasonals. Like Sam Adams does a seasonal. It's a little bit lighter and crisper, you know, things like that. I mean, look. I'm not a beer snob. I'm a man of the people. That's
Thank
why
you.
I think you guys will love Dukes and Bell Hey Man Ale. Thank you. Hey, man, some of the other storylines we're looking at today, and we'll get more to this in the headlines, but needless to say, the University of Louisville is going to have to drop that Papa John's name from the stadium in light of what John Schnatter, the former CEO, has been saying. At least, you know, it was so funny. The ultimate irony, we didn't talk much about this yesterday, Randy. The ultimate irony is it's a PR group that was working with him on trying to help his image in light of the fallout of him calling out NFL players last year.
He's just speaking his truth, that's all. He was speaking his truth, and it came back and bit him in the butt, and now mm-hmm. – Louisville and the NFL. I think the NBA dropped him, or baseball. Another major brand dropped him. So man.
Well, the thing is, though, it's market share. It's just the good news is somebody will be able to pick up some Papa John's shares at some really low prices, and pump some life into it. But right now, it's a little bit of free fall. But that's when the world of business and sports intersect.
Yeah,
what I mean? When you go out there, whether it's you make a comment or it's a soundbite or something on social media. I mean, that stuff sticks with you.
It does. It comes back and bites you in the butt. And that word right there, that's an ugly word.
Yeah. And there's no way to, Colonel Sanders said it. Well,
you're not Colonel Sanders. All right.
Well, actually, Southern Indiana, anybody's ever driven up I-65 way? Uh-huh. That's the same part of the country, Bo, where Fuzzy Zeller's from, by the way, for those who remember the 1997 Masters, just to go down memory lane. But not saying it's in the water, but kind of. It is Dukes and Bell with Randy Mack in for Carl Dukes today. We will talk to Paul Byrd. What do you think about the Bravos, man? They're going to build off what Albies did the other night?
I hope so, man. I mean, they had a day off. Everybody getting some rest. Who's on? Aníbal Sanchez is on the mound tonight. So let's see what he can do. I mean, he's not been terrible this year, but
He's actually kind of been one of the slowers.
I mean, it's 4-2, 2.72 ERA. I mean, he's been all right. And so I'm looking at this Diamondback, because coming into the season, were they a team you were talking about maybe leading their division? Or
no,
it's because the Dodgers are playing so bad over
Grinke
there.
Got traded, right? I mean, they were Grinke left, so they've, you know, that's a team that, you know, they're not one of the elites, but they're a team with a winning record. They'd be winning the division right now.
Yeah.
So I think when you think about the National League and you start to look at, okay, well, who's going to make a deal? Well, who's in the mix? Who's a contender right now for their division? Well, there's a lot of teams. That's the thing. If you're looking out trying to figure out, well, who's going to make a deal? Who's dead in the water? Well, Cincinnati. Remember the Reds were in town a few weeks
and
ago?
And you kept telling me about it. They got two or three relievers on there. They're talking about trying to move them.
Right.
I mean, there's names out there. The thing that worries me is that the Braves wait too late. You know what I'm saying? Like somebody snatches those guys up before you can get to them.
Well, we'll talk to Paul Byrd about that, guys, coming up a little bit later in the show. Get his take on when the move is made. Diamondbacks a half game behind the Dodgers.
Okay, so, yeah, because the Dodgers were struggling to get in the season. They finally found their groove with it, in June. So right now, that's why I said you didn't look at the Diamondbacks coming to the season like they were going to be a team, but also you didn't think the Dodgers would have struggled the way they did out the gate.
Right. But now, if you're looking for, like you just said, you're looking for trading partners, all right, the Pirates are five games under. Reds are dead in the water. The Padres always name seems to come up. I know. I'm just trying to tell you, guys have got assets.
It's a beautiful place to live.
Right? Well, they might be looking to make some deals. Rangers, they're obviously Kansas City. I don't know what they got, but they're dead too.
What's the third base? Moustakas? I mean, he's out there right now. I mean, and I was reading up on the ESPN thing today about that. They're like, and you don't even have to really give any top-notch prospects for this guy.
That's the thing. And I think they're already saying that the Yankees are close to getting Mike Moustakas right now. Well, who else is going to get him, right?
I mean, who else? I mean, they're going to get Manny Machado and him.
And we'll also, this is something else we're going to tap into a little bit later, because, you know, for years, the Yankees had more money than anybody. It didn't guarantee him a World Series win, but the Yankees, the Red Sox, there are teams out there that have just more financial wherewithal, Dodgers, to go make the moves. In the NBA, it's different because Golden State, everybody just wants to go jump that train.
Everybody wants to play for a winner. Right. You want to play for a winner. And in baseball, I mean, if you're a big-time a big-time guy and you're about to be a free agent, you know that the Yankees, Sox, Dodgers, they're going to throw the most money at you.
Is it good or bad for baseball? Because I think despite the fact that the Yankees spent all that money always, you know, and always seem to have the ability to do things other teams can't, the Astros kind of did it organically and then topped it off with Verlander.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. They stunk. They knew they were going to stink. They knew they had these young guys, you know, in the farm system coming up. And then once you said, they had everything coming together, and they need that one piece. And it was Verlander. They went and got him. They went a World Series.
Is now the time to make a move? When do the Braves pull the trigger? Is it going to be a big splash, or is it just going to be simply a couple of guys in a bullpen and a middle-of-the-road starter? We shall see. All I know is they're still playing tennis at Wimbledon.
Oh, I mean,
and they're going to have to start the other men's semifinal on another court because these guys won't finish.
These guys are going to play all night. Break the serve.
It's now fifth set, 20-20 between Isner and Anderson. The big dog, 6'10 versus a 6'8 dude. Just dropping bombs on each other all afternoon in London, England, as they'd said on the Austin Powers movie. We'll come back, guys. A look at the headlines on Dukes and Bell with Randy Mack.
Hey, man, Al. If you like it, tell your friends. If you don't, bless a you problem. Hey, man, Al. He's very responsible.
Thank team.
Randy was a horse. The name of the horse would be, who you whipping?
Yeah, returning to Mac. Randy Mack in for the vacationing Carl Dukes. He ain't heavy. He's my brother. And Randy's in. That's from a few weeks back. We were getting ready for the, I guess it was the Belmont.
Yeah.
And we were talking about if Randy was a horse, what would his name be?
I was like, what?
Who you whipping?
Who you whipping?
Money, man. Very funny stuff. Samuel Charlie is producing on the engineering side. And Squid Billy, executive producing the program. It takes a village to make a radio show.
Yes, it does.
Hey, man, we got some headlines to get to. But real quick, special day today, Friday the 13th. So be careful out there. Are you superstitious?
No, not really.
Okay, just do your thing.
Are you?
You know, I was going to go take the car out to get washed today. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, Friday the 13th, all this construction, all this traffic. I leave the car in the garage today.
Well, you get the car washed, what, three times a week?
Once a week, Randy. You know what, Randall? You know what? You used to have performance vehicles before you went to the family SUV.
Yeah. But I didn't drive them.
You kept it clean, though.
I never drove it.
Right, but you kept it clean.
And I don't like how you said the family, it's not that big.
Well, say we get the family truckster now. I mean, not like you're rolling around in a Bentley or something or a Bugatti. Randy is in today. For those who don't know where you've been, Randy, a bulldog for life and a former Miami Dolphin. And a Ram and a Charger. But I always think of you as a Dolphin. But we got a ton of stories to get to. But Friday the 13th, first things first, it's a special day for me today. This is my annual leg day at the gym.
Whoa.
Yes.
So, now, what'd you do? Leg press?
Squid, what's the machine? Because I use them so infrequently. Where you're kicking out the thing? What's that?
Leg extension?
Yeah, there you go, Randy. That's what I did.
That's leg day for you?
Did four sets of those and got the heck out of there. Chicks can only see you from your chest up when you're driving a convertible, Randy. No sense in working on the wheels.
Don't hurt yourself.
Yep, there you go. So for you guys, the Uncle Mike's fitness tip, legs are overrated, man. Just wear baggy pants or shorts. And with that, we'll hit the headlines.
Strap in, youngins.
Hitting the headlines with Dukes and Bell.
All right, Bravos, ready, back in action today. And as we mentioned, the Diamondbacks just basically the same boat in the NL West that the Braves are in the NL East. And a guy who is really good, Zach Godley, 10-6 on the season, going up against Anibal Sanchez, who has been, I guess you would call him the best, most consistent, I guess, over the long haul.
I think you
can
say that. Most consistent.
Right.
I mean,
it was, it was Newcomb for a pitch, then it was for Fulte, but everybody's had their turn of mediocrity in this rotation.
Exactly. So when's the time to get, consistent, Mike? I mean, come on, man. I mean, they need, at least get you 2 out of 3 of this one, Mike.
Well, one thing for certain, whatever happens this weekend, we got the All-Star break coming up and the All-Star Home Run Derby and Freddie Freeman, an All-Star and a Derby competitor. Here he is on talking about going up against Bryce Harper and being in the big show.
My dad said it'd be kind of fun to watch, so that was my ultimate decision when my dad said he would like to see me in it. I think everybody would, when you're a kid, you competed in Home Run Derby is a pretty cool thing, so we'll see how I do. but I'm looking forward to it.
I mean, not exactly you consider Freddie a home run hitter, but I mean, he hits a bunch of them, so yeah, I know he's ready to roll.
He can hit home runs. I never would have pictured him in the Home Run Derby, but good for him. And obviously, his pops holds a big weight with him, and he said his dad wanted him to always do it. So good for him. Hopefully, he comes out with a win. And I think right now we were talking about having fun with the names yesterday about who the guys who were in it. Did we know who was who? That looked like the most interesting first round match. Anyway, Freddie versus Bryce.
Only one American leaguer, as we mentioned, and a lot of guys. Unless you're a hardcore baseball fan, you might be going, "Oh, who's that guy?" Hey, man, the Hawks make a move, and at first, I thought maybe this is going to be a cash dump, but obviously because they're moving on from Schroeder, you're going to see some Jeremy Lin. He's got 1 year left on his deal.
Yeah.
And if you're kind of concerned about where this goes, look, they're still going to let, obviously, Trae Young run the show, but you got to have some depth at the guard position.
Yeah, you got to have some depth. And Jeremy Lin, he's coming off of an injury. I think it was opening night, he tore his knee up. So we don't know where he is with that, because that that patella, when you rupture that, that's a long, grueling rehab. But, yeah, he would be a great addition as a veteran backup behind Trae. So hopefully he gets back and helps his team.
Seventh team in Jeremy Lin's career. He's only 29 years of age, according to Wojo from ESPN. Lin's got that $12.5 million expiring contract. Chris Vivlamore also writes, the Hawks get the right to swap second-round picks in 2023 and a second-rounder in 2025. And they also send a 2020 second-round pick, which we acquired from the Trailblazers, and the rights to Isaiah Cordonnier. We hardly knew you. Another draft and stash European.
Yeah, wasn't it a three-team trade or something like that? Because I know Denver had to do some salary dumps because they were like, I think they saved like $40 million in the salary in the luxury tax or whatever they were talking about. When you're talking about teams that aren't contending and playing that much in luxury, you got to get some people.
Well, you heard Travis Schlenk talking with Chris Vivlamore last week in Vegas in an interview in the AJC, saying that free agency is going to be done trades. And they're going to be doing trades, and they're going to try to obviously accumulate some assets and eat some salary and dump it, and that's how you get better. It takes a while. Here's Trae Young, though, one guy who's, after a sluggish start in the summer league, seems to be rolling and playing pretty well.
It was definitely a process. This has all been a process for me. Coming in, my first game, being the first time I played 5-on-5 since my college basketball game. Throughout the whole draft process, it was all one-on-nos and just doing different drills. So just getting back into the flow of things and getting back on 5-on-5 was just the start of my process. So it's all been an upward battle and upward hill for me, so I'm just enjoying it.
He's going to continue to get better. Like I said, the first time he's been playing 5-on-5 because, through the draft process, it's one versus nothing. You're playing against Aaron. They're like, oh, look at him play. So he's getting an opportunity to go out there, play with new teammates also. Didn't play last night. But, this kid, he's doing the one thing that we wanted a Hawks player to do, have the Hawks on people's mind. People are talking about the Atlanta Hawks right now.
Here's another cut from Trae Young out in Sin City. He said he's still got lots to work on, but he's ready.
It's definitely not easy, but I've trained my whole life. I worked so hard throughout this whole process and growing up just to get prepared for this moment. And as of right now, I feel like I'm ready, but I know there's a lot of things I got to continue to get better at and just continue to work.
I love the whole life thing. Didn't Andrew say that yesterday, my whole life, and you just turned 18? Still babies. But yeah. This kid, he's going to grow But he has a long way to go. He knows that. And that's what I love about him is that he knows that he's not a finished product right now. So hopefully he can continue to work, get better at this. And when, you know, when the season comes around, contribute.
Right.
Contribute. I mean, he's going to be the star of the team right now.
Going to have a chance to grow. And look, he'll have some mistakes. But, you know, it's a shame. And I tweeted this earlier today. Mike Bell ATL on Twitter. He's at RandyMac81. Follow the station at DukesandBell929. You know, it's frustrating. You hope that Schroeder right now should be in the prime of his career, 24, you know, and statistically, if you looked at him, you say, well, that's a guy you'd hold on and you'd build around, but obviously too inconsistent, too much of a flake at times, so you're going to move on. But problem is, you got no leverage in a trade. I mean, everyone knows you're looking to dump him now just by signing Jeremy Lin.
Yeah, and I saw your tweet earlier today, and I couldn't agree more. I mean, this, you're talking about a 24-year-old point guard that's coming off his best year with 19-6 type guy. You're like, I can build around this right here.
Right.
And right now it just seems like they're trying so hard to get rid of him, Mike. But when you know that the team wants to get rid of him, I mean, you can lowball him.
Right.
You can lowball him.
You got us over a barrel in trying to move the contract by NBA standards.
It's not that bad.
No, it's not a bad one. But 3 years left on his current deal. Lin's contract expires at the end of this year. In the meantime, though, plenty of reps, plenty of minutes for Trae Young. Hey, the headlines, guys, here on Dukes and Bell, brought to you by Dukes and Bell. Hey, man, ale, shenanigans in every can. Let's hear from Carlos Bocanegra. He joined the morning show today. Eric Rometty rolled into Atlanta. I saw the video that Atlanta United posted on their Twitter page. He was up at the training facility in Marietta. He made a little video message saying hi to the fans and looking forward to playing for the Five Stripes. Here's Bocanegra on what this dude's about.
He is a little bit of a pit bull. I mean, it was great to see that there was fans there at 5:30 or 6 o'clock, some god awful hour in the morning. I mean, well, you guys are up at that time, so. But yeah. They were out there supporting him, and you know, he had a big smile on his face. He's just excited to be here. But yeah, he's definitely a little bit of a pit bull. He likes to hunt the ball, loves a tackle, but like I said beforehand, he can also handle the ball, and you have to be technical to be able to play on our team. So. He's a guy that he doesn't take plays off, and he's going to run and bring a lot of energy. And yeah, you know, he brings competition to the squad, which is a great little boost for us, kind of heading into the home stretch of the season.
He's a tough guy, Mike. He's a. We talked to Jason when he first signed. And he's like he's more of a defensive guy than Nagbe is, but he's a guy who like we talked about how Barco was getting tossed around and stuff. Mm-hmm. He's the guy that's going to come to the aid of his teammates. So you like to see that, especially when people do talk about Atlanta being a softer team that you can bully and push him around.
Right. And like you saw Neymar taking dives and flops, and that went worldwide. But part of it is because guys beat him up.
Yeah.
You know, and at some point, you know, if the refs won't protect you in the middle part of the field, I mean, I don't like it. I get it. It's not very manly by what we perceive as manly watching American football, North American sports. But in some cases, you got to try to do it to try to get the refs to get the call. Regardless, Rometty is that tough guy. Now, like, you can't just go out and punch somebody in the face and get a red card.
No, you can't do that.
You know what I mean? But there is a physical presence that he can send some hits and, you know, on some hard fouls and send a message. You know, rough around our guys.
You love a tough guy until he starts costing you. You know?
Right.
Like, dude. Chill out.
Hey, Carlos Bocanegra, our technical director for Atlanta United. He was on this morning with Tone the Bone in for John Fricke and Hugh. And Carlos was also asked about the World Cup final and what he thinks of Croatia's shot against France.
Incredible mental strength and character and quality on the field. They've got a generation of, you know, the Luka Modric, the Rakitic, a few of these guys that play for massive clubs around the world. They've just have a little sweet spot of talent, and mentally and physically they're getting it done as well.
Got you with that one, didn't I?
Yeah, you caught me off guard.
His words, not mine, sir. His words, not mine.
Oh, yeah, you caught me off guard with that one.
Anyway, there's the headlines, guys, brought to you by Dukes and Bell Hey Man Ale, brewed with love by Oconee Brewing Company in Greensboro, Georgia. Hey, man, this Anderson-Isner match is now on to
23.
Holy moly. We all watch tennis. It's game, set, and match. They're tied.
No, they're not tied, Mike. That's a 23-22.
No, they're tied at two sets, but it's game 23-22.
Yes.
So 45 games now they played in this fifth set. Unbelievable.
They're tired. They got to be worn out right now.
Man, oh, man.
But, hey, I mean,
I don't know how you'd have anything for Sunday in the men's finals at Wimbledon, but this has been something.
Is there a bigger tennis than Wimbledon? I mean, everybody, this is what you dream of right here, man. So you're going to gut it out. Just like the World Cup, we talked about Croatia. Right. We're going to talk a little bit more in the next segment about it. Dude, you're talking about, they've already played another full game.
Right. Actually, more than a match and a quarter, if you will, if you put an NBA or you know, our terms on the West, in the Western world of sports. But, I mean, and by the way, for the soccer purists, you know, I know we've got hardcore soccer fans, and Randy was kind of getting a kick out of guys at the airport to greet Rometty.
Oh, yeah.
Well, they're passionate United fans.
That's
but, I mean,
that's some corny bleep.
You really want to go down this road? You don't have all the success and wonderful things in your life if people didn't care about you playing football for the Dolphins or wherever you played. The fans pay the freight.
I keep telling yourself that.
Well, if the fans don't support or watch the TV, then the NFL doesn't have any money, and then they don't have a payroll. So, yes, through hook or crook, the fans do pay your salary, my friend.
You keep telling yourself that, and you actually believe that.
Well, brother, it all started back in the 50s with that Colts-Giants game, which drew TV ratings.
Right.
And that's how the NFL salaries kind of went up like this. Mm-hmm. But if fans aren't watching, no one gets paid. That's why soccer players make less money than NFL or NBA players.
So you're telling me, so if nobody goes to the Falcons game all year long, they're not going to pay Matt Ryan?
No, you're totally missing the point of reference. Right. The fans are the bedrock that everybody who gets paid in professional sports. Oh, without the fans, you guys have nothing.
I didn't say that we didn't. But I just said it was corny to me to make
Do your research on it.
What's that, Thomas? Say again, Thomas.
Do your research on
but
it.
But these fans, these people that you poop on, they were happy to go out to the airport and welcome Eric Rometty.
Once again. Randy's
bullying you, sports fans. He's bullying you. By the way, you can retort to Randy. He'll be out there talking soccer with Rob Tribble.
Make sure you come see me.
Come on out to get ready for Seattle Match Day Live broadcast at the tailgate, Lot A in the Gulch. Rob Tribble making trouble and Randy Mack broadcasting live. 10 a.m. to 1:30, FIFA 18 on Xbox. Just heard from Carlos Bocanegra. They get some autographed posters from him as well. Hey, man, we'll talk some more World Cup. And what do you guys think? I just made a statement about the fans. You think Randy's right or I'm right? 404-741.
I think I'm wrong.
0929. Hey, man, it is Dukes and Bell with Randy Mack. Brady McMichael in today for Carl. And today, you know, not the biggest tennis fans, admittedly, in the world, but when it is the majors, you're obviously going to watch. And Wimbledon, nothing bigger than that, as Randy just alluded to earlier this hour. We've been watching this Anderson-Isner match. Yeah. Again, Isner, you guys know, from Georgia. 6'10", Bulldog, and right now we got Anderson, Kevin Anderson from South Africa, potentially serving for the match. It's been over, it's coming up on 6 hours and change now. Ooh. It's been unbelievable how long this has gone, but a couple of guys that are big tennis fans said, just Google longest tennis matches in pro tennis history, and John Isner holds the record, 11 hours, 5 minutes over 3 days to beat Nicolas Mahut, the Frenchman, back in 2010 at Wimbledon.
I'm telling you, once again, this is like the Masters, you know, this is the biggest deal right now in tennis right now. So, yeah, you're going to give it all you got right now. These two guys have been battling it out, and it's been fun.
So now he's got the two longest tennis matches ever played at Wimbledon on his resume.
I watched the Federer, and it was like going back and forth. I'm like, okay, well, Roger's up 2-0. Let me go out. No, I'm just going to sit here and watch the rest of this. And he just kept battling and finding a way to win.
So the two longest tennis matches of all time, John Isner's in it. Because when you got a first serve like that, a bazooka is going to keep you in it. But two guys going at it, the South African Anderson, he's 6'8". So as we said, these are like two power forwards going at it, man.
They're big dudes with a wingspan. So that's why, I mean, and not to say they're not tired because they're so long they don't have to move as much as far. Right. But, I mean, this has got to take something out of them.
So right now we'll let you know what's going down, but there is a Georgia connection to it, and you know, it's got a lot of fans here in the Metro Atlanta area. But it's been compelling television, as we said. We got a bunch of guys that, you know, we're all ball and stick sports, of which tennis is one. Yeah. But we don't watch a lot of tennis, but it's kind of cool to see everybody in the office huddled around watching this because it's been high drama.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing about it. This was a regular match. If this was the first two sets, I mean, we'd probably be just walking around or anything. Mm-hmm. But because of where they are right now in this tennis match, it's a little intriguing.
So Isner's got to break Anderson to stay alive. Basically, in the men's semifinal
and
right now.
And he just got the first point. So.
Hey, the World Cup's in action, and we heard the soundbite from Carlos Bocanegra earlier about Croatia. You get to see that one, guys, at Mercedes-Benz. They're going to open up the stadium early. By now, you guys are familiar with how that's going to play out, and you get to watch it in the bars on the big halo board. And then when the match is over, if it goes to extra time, Fox is going to start the game a little bit later. But we'll be taking on Seattle. You and Rob Tribble are going to be down here in the Gulch having some fun.
Make sure y'all come by and say hello. We'll be right there, I think, Lot A or somewhere in there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you'll see us. You'll see the big 92.9 The Game van. They'll have, the TV will be out there for the kids to play FIFA. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
Big weekend in Atlanta taking on the Diamondbacks before we get to the All-Star break. As we said yesterday, it's actually the second half is shorter than the first half in the big leagues. But when are you going to see the Braves make some moves? That's the big $64,000 question. First off, when do you make a move? And is the move going to be considered a big move?
Okay, reliever, if you say relief pitcher, you wouldn't say big move, right? But you're talking about a frontline starter, big move. So Where are you at? Do you think they need a front-line starter or just another starter in the rotation?
I mean, right now you've only got legitimate four starters.
Right.
Right? And then everything else is you're hoping that rookies and guys with limited major league experience can keep it together, either health-wise or just consistency-wise. So I think, yeah, front-line starter, and you've got to get two pieces for your bullpen.
And that's what I'm saying. So when you're saying another starter, you're talking about maybe fourth, fifth guy, or you're talking about a guy that could probably be the one?
Well,
that's what I'm saying.
I mean, you feel that Fulte and Newcomb moving forward, and eventually Soroka when Wright gets up here from Double-A, that's going to be your new version of Glavin and Smoltz and Avery. And, of course, later Maddox came from free agency. But right now, I say if you want to compete this year, you got to get one. Just a matter of how high do you want to go and do you want to bring in that kind of big money guy that could be considered a one.
Yeah, now this is the article I was reading earlier today. This guy from Bradford Doolittle from ESPN, he was talking about the Braves. And he was basically – what he was saying a lot at the end, he was basically saying – you know, we were talking about Moustakas and said it won't cost them a lot because of where he is, but they're also saying they may need to convert some of their organizational depth, which is the pitching, into some bullpen help. And that's one thing I've been talking about, Mike, for the last couple of weeks is why can't you use some of these young guys in the bullpen? I mean, you got plenty of them.
Well, who's going to step up? That's the thing, man. Show you can be the man, be consistent. Then, of course, the other day, we had a day off between the Toronto Blue Jays and the Diamondbacks coming in. We were kind of applauding Snitker. Now, it didn't work out necessarily, but I think Dansby should make a play, and then you see Fulte get out of an inning. I'm not sure it shakes his confidence. He still got a win, but a grand slam and a 7-1 game becomes a 7-5 game.
And it's over, Mike.
Yep, so Anderson from South Africa beats Isner in the second longest match in Wimbledon history. So the Bulldog did a great job, but eventually he was broken in, what was that, the 47th game of the fifth set?
Wow, unbelievable.
I mean, it's when you describe it like that, right?
Yeah, unbelievable. But going back to Dansby, now, when you look at, because I'd be hard-pressed to say that, if they say, well, Manny wants to come here and he's going to sign long-term, that Dansby, he's expendable, right?
Of course he is.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. I don't want to make it because, you know, people think we always dump on him and we don't.
I'm just saying Manny Machado, it's a no-brainer.
It's a no-brainer, right?
You even heard that, and we'll talk to Paul Byrd about that at 3 o'clock. But we heard that from Brian Jordan the other day here on the show with Carl and I. So, yeah, there's no mystery there. I mean, one guy's a four-time All-Star with home run pop and RBI producer. You know, and then, by the way, the fielding percentage is identical.
Yeah.
So there is no argument. Other than the sentimental feelings of some folks in the northern suburbs, not
Dansby. Man.
I don't like those players with vowels at the ends of their name. Easy, sir. Please, sir.
Where's Dansby?
Yeah. I mean, well, Dansby, technically, his first name ends with a Y, sir, and sometimes a Y is a vowel. Hey, the World Cup is in action. Are you going to we'll have TV set up. Are you going to be watching this on Sunday?
I mean, I'll see where I can go and watch it.
You're going to have a TV set up right there at the tent.
But they don't have cable on it. They just have
somebody's going to have cable.
I know
down
that,
there.
But I'll be working, so I can't leave my post to go watch it.
Well, tell somebody to have the TV turned towards you.
I watch it on my phone there. I have my phone with it on, so.
And by the way, the guys who went out to reach and to say hi to Eric Rometty as he made his flight from South America, they hit us up on Twitter saying
my man Brandon, we're just having fun with him.
He said he beat traffic and he got out to say hi to the guy and welcome him to Atlanta.
Good for him, man. It's just fun. It's Friday. It's Friday in the middle of July. I got to have some fun somewhere.
Right on. The final, it's not England-France. We all know that. And that would have had all sorts of unbelievable ramifications, the rivalry, the history, everything else. But Croatia guys have certainly earned the right. And as Randy said earlier, when you think about all the extra time and all that extra effort they put in, they've got guys that play for the elite teams like Juventus and Real Madrid. So, I mean, they're no slouch. It's just it's a small country. It'd be the second smallest country since Uruguay won this World Cup in 1930.
That's crazy, Mike. And I'm sure some people were saying they were a sleeper team. They'd be like, well, who's your sleeper team in this World Cup? And a few people said Croatia. But if you would just think about the minutes that these guys have put on their legs, that they can just find a way to get it done. That's what I enjoy so far.
We just watched an endurance battle between Kevin Anderson and John Isner. The French players are much younger, to a man. They're much younger. They got 18-year-olds. They're like gazelles, man. When they cover the ground.
They're so good.
Right. There's a real flow on the counter.
Yeah, they're so good.
So could Croatia just kind of summon a little more strength? Because, look, I mean, for these guys, and again, all their stars are generally older by soccer standards. This is it. This is your window right now.
Yeah, but my thing is if Croatia can find a way to, you know, because like you said, France, they are a young team. If they could find a way to drag it out, Mike, and slow down the pace. And see if you can maybe get it into like deep in the second half of the game and get that one goal and these young players start doubting themselves.
Mm. Croatia, by the way, as we mentioned, they've played extra time three times now to get to the final. Senior players look to be a little out of steam as we saw. Again, the Russia match was unbelievable. That one was insane in its own right, because that one was going to penalty kicks, to high drama. It's one guy hit us up on Twitter on, I guess it was earlier in the week, and I was working with Carl, and he's like, isn't that a gimmicky way to finish? Well, it's
that's
like
awesome,
but it's like Wimbledon. What are you going to play for 6 hours? I mean, you have guys dropping like dead bodies on the pitch. What? They go to they play 2:30. Was it 2:15 minutes?
Yeah, 2:15 minutes.
And
yes.
Then you go to the penalty kick.
Yeah, and the PK to me just seems like if the goalie has a guess right. A lot of times he has, but it was one earlier where the goalie guessed wrong, but he was you know was able to get the leg up at the last second and block it. I mean, it's the drama behind it.
Well, the other thing is, truth be told, if you're one of the elite players in the world, and we've seen this, that's what makes it so interesting. The guys that have any other day in practice, they got the God-given skill. Just throw, hit a laser, frozen rope, high up, done. But some guys, they get
that pressure
in their head.
It's a different kind of pressure right there. When you're standing out there all by yourself.
Right.
And it's not like, you know, when you're kicking a game winning field goal. It's you and the goalie. All these people are relying. A whole country's
But it's not like a penalty shot in hockey. Because nowadays, NHL goalies are all 6'4", and they're wearing enough pads to be the Michelin man. You got enough empty space, strike confidently, but some of these guys don't. They get too cute, and you see what you saw in some of this World Cup. Hey, man, we got our man Paul Byrd coming up from Fox Sports Southeast, former Brave. We'll ask him the questions we've been talking to all our experts about. When and where do the Braves make a move?
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.